Blog Talk Radio.
You've tuned into Big Exclusives.
Please don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now.
Hello?
Kilo, we are live. We are live. Welcome to the show.
What happened to the intro? What's up? What's up? Hey, y'all. You gotta forgive me. I'm used to an intro. We didn't have no intro. So, we don't make mistakes over here. We do make memories. What's up? It's your boy, Philo the Great. Welcome to another edition of Big Exclusives. So, we have a great show planned for you today. First of all, I'd like to start off with welcoming our international listeners to the show, as well as all of our callers, all the people who are on the line, checking in, listening, because we do have a great guest in the building today. Also, what's up to the ones in the chat room? I see you all out there. What's going down? It is now 4:01 Eastern Standard Time, 3:01 Central Standard Time, and 1:01 Pacific Standard Time, meaning Big Exclusives is live. So tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend to call in and listen to this great show. The studio line is 929-477-1167. Again, the studio line is 929-477-1167, and I do apologize again for the technical difficulties in the beginning. So, now that we got that out the way, man, we got a special guest in the building. He comes from one of the pioneers of the conscious rap community and has been listed one of the 10 greatest conscious rappers of all time. And so we'll be joined by Brother Jay of the X-Clan. You know what I'm saying? He'll be stopping through, and we'll be chopping it up with Brother Jay. So in the meantime, let's just go ahead and jump into one of Brother Jay's freestyles. Now, I was doing some research and came across this freestyle by Brother Jay. And the name of this freestyle that we have is Do It Again. We got Do It Again. So I'm going to go ahead and get into this Do It Again. And when we come back from this freestyle break, then we'll get into the interview with Brother Jay from X-Clan. So, hey, go get what you need, because we'll be right back after this music break. Let's get it.
Keep it coming along. To X, to the Z, to the L-A-N. I hear them haters when they say, until the wheels fall off. Warriors all in, Cypher, Millennium. Too much, too many people, they rush.
What's he saying?
Too much, so many people, we hush.
Brother Jay.
Yeah, MCs out there, you better stand clear. Funk a lesson is the world premiere. From New York coming off, from America's best. Street knowledge and also wisdom, grand verb manifest. Life from the breath as I do it to death. I'm the underground mirror of medicine man. Tubman descending contest, my tones uplift. Crossroads destination set, freedom train. Gear shift to the rhythm as I'm giving the root. Guiding light, penetrating the shadow path. Shoot for the stars and arrive like the Afronaut. Pioneer, Armstrong in the game. Can I do it again? I stand firm in the timeless position. Stooping to conquer, no question. My mission be
freedom or death.
I do it like Wyclef, son. I'm staying alive, cut the beats on last breath.
It's the X to the C to the L-A-N.
I hear them haters when they say, until the wheels fall off. Warriors all in, Cypher, Millennium.
Too much, too many people, they rush.
What's he saying?
Too much, so many.
Welcome back. That was Do It Again. For our special guest, I am CeeLo the Great, and I would like to welcome you all to Big Exclusive if you're now just tuning in. So, Brother J is an American rap artist and was also a member of the American hip-hop group X-Clan, with Professor X, the Overseer, Paradise the Architect, and Sugar Shack. In 2016, Design and Trend magazine named Brother J as one of the 10 greatest conscious rappers of all time. So with no further ado, let's welcome Brother J to Big Exclusives. Brother J.
Peace and blessings, family. Peace and blessings. One love, family. How
man,
you doing?
Man, I'm great. This interview, man, I couldn't wait to get to because me being from Memphis, being Tennessee, and you being from New York, and growing up in the conscious community, and me growing up at one point in time on nothing but New York rap because the South did not have no mainstream. So when we were growing up watching Yo MTV Raps and things like that, it was X-Clan, it was Stetsasonic, it was Kool G Rap, it was Kwame, Will Smith, all these artists from New York, and KRS-One, just to name a few. So coming from your background, I wanted to know, man, like what is it that got your message? Did you always grow up in a conscious home, or was it the brothers you was around, the elders, so to say, that you was around that molded and shaped you to who you were? Share some light on that for me.
Indeed, man. You know, coming up, I came up in Brooklyn, New York, and my family, you know, being from the South, you know, they influenced me to, you know, to have a different work ethic, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to what you put your work into. So that kind of positivity is what I poured into when I joined the movement. I joined the Black Nationalist Movement at 16. And, you know, when I joined their organization, it wasn't to be, you know, on a Black superior mental, you know, like we're better than others, but just to do as Marcus Garvey taught us, you know, to improve our people. So I joined with Professor X at a young age, and it was good to ground myself in that. It was, you know, it was better than, you know, joining gangs and you know, other negative organizations, you know, that build against the community. So, you know, combining my family life and combining the blessing of meeting some good brothers that have some purpose, it just spilled over into my poetry and my music, and the rest was history.
Now, man, coming from that heavy, strong background and that message, like, speaking to you, man, because I grew up, honestly, in the NWA era, okay?
Yes.
Where gangster music was just hitting. We had, I did, you know, get a taste of hip-hop with, I'll say, Salt and Pepper, the Fat Boys, Heavy D, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Things like
right.
that. But, like, when I really got into music and influenced by music, where music caught my ear and started influencing me, it was during the gangster rap era, right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
I wanted to say, like, when did it, like, you being in the game, you being in the industry, when did you notice that it was fizzing out? Was it evident that the industry stopped supporting the conscious rap and started leaning heavy toward the gangster rap to push an agenda? Or what do you believe? Because a lot of us who study hip-hop from the outside looking in have always believed that it was, and I'm going to speak for myself, I always believed it had to be some type of design to where the Talib Kweli's and the KRS-One's and the X-Clan's and all the other influential conscious rappers was not getting a lot of mainstream airplay, videos and all this stuff not being played once this gangster rap hit. And I feel like it was due to mass incarceration. And so due to, you know, how I feel like being systematic, the system, the way it's set up against us, I always felt like it played a part in the gangster rap being so influential and the conscious rap being put on the back burner, so to say. So I guess my question to you is, do you agree with that, or can you shed some light on that, you being in the game coming from that era?
I don't, you know, good question. I don't put, how can I say, I don't put conspiracy upon why conscious music isn't being played. You know, anytime you do entertainment, you have to be prepared to pay to play. You understand? And, you know, and a lot of conscious organizations or even movements have always had problems with money. We're kind of like the American politics of Democrats. You know, we have so many people to spread money out. We never have enough money stacked up, you know. So, you know, when you're in the game, if you don't have enough money for the extra marketing and so on, you know, the industry is going to hire something that's simple to understand first. So, you know, like when you talk about Eazy-E, you know, when I first got put on Eazy-E, it was almost like how Richard Pryor was introduced to me. And not that he was a joke, but he was, you know, he was using parodies of songs and you know, and inside of the gangster music. And that was something that was making people laugh. You know, you got people, you know, that attract to you through drama or comedy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And X-Clan, we didn't have any of that. You know, we had purpose, but we didn't have drama and comedy. So when, you know, you look at the success of a Snoop Dogg and, you know, a lot of different people that are out there, the vocabulary and the method to understanding their message is easier because they're not digging into indigenous, you know, topics and, you know, free the people and all of this. It's just like drink and party and have fun. You know what I'm saying? So they've never found the silver cord inside the conscious community to have fun because we're always addressing serious topics. You know, real world is going down. So, you know, it's not a case of not wanting us into the industry. You know, there may be some labels that are funny style about that, but I think if, you know, if we had a united front and everybody's money was right, we can pay for the same kind of marketing that Puff Daddy gets or Master P and, you know, so many other people that can afford airtime where you're hearing their songs 50 times a day, you know, because if what I'm saying is not right, then, you know, what's the holdback now? You know, internet is free. You know, every conscious artist should be viral, you know, if it was up to the people, you feel me? So if the people want more conscious activity and music, then start clicking on these folks, you know, and showing that there is love for that, but they don't show the love. You know, they're saying, you know, they're making it like we're party poopers and whatnot. And, you know, I don't get caught up in that, bro. You know, when you're a messenger, man, you got to take it for what it is. You know, if one person understands, that's where the leverage is, man, you know?
All right, and so, like, when you hear, like, preachers preach, you know, they have a saying that say sheep beget sheep, right?
Right.
And so I guess, am I hearing that, like, properly hearing you say, like, it's pretty much on the fan of the conscious music. Is the fan not playing their role correctly? Because, like you say, the internet is available to everybody nowadays in 2019. Where conscious music can go viral. But like you say, it does take marketing dollars. But it also takes a niche market, right? You have to have a market for the conscious music. So are you saying like that it's pretty much the conscious community plays a responsibility too because they're not consuming the music?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's not just on them. It's just as hip hop as a whole. If music is good, music is good. If I'm talking about foulness or greatness, it doesn't matter. You know, it's the job of the conscious artist to be able to make somebody's favorite song. And usually we're not making somebody's favorite song. We're reporting what's wrong first. You feel me? So, you know, it's a balance of entertainment and revolution, which is rare. And that's why X-Clan was successful, because we were able to incorporate the funk into the lesson. You know what I'm saying? And that was
part of my title, so to speak, and that was what my style represented. You know, we had to do, we can't just feed the elders back to say, yeah, we received the information without paying attention to the current generation that has a different rhythm and frequency. So it's mm-hmm. not just about just writing something good and waiting for a hand clap because you're so proud, and that's usually the ego of a conscious artist. Like, if I'm saying something right, clap for me. Nobody owes mm-hmm. you anything. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to report something dope, do the science to know that you're in the music industry, and it got to sound funky. It's got to sound tight in order to carry over and penetrate into this thing, or don't get in the game, period. You know, because if you dope, then you get it. You know, look at the Roots. You know what I'm saying? They, right. You know, as dope as they are, somebody said, man, y'all so dope, man, we're going to hire you so people can hear you every night. So he don't even need to print another record ever in his life again. You understand me? People who are conscious have to realize that they're more flexible than the average artist. You know, that was rhyming like cat and rat and hat. Y'all had vocabulary. You can spill over into voiceovers. You can spill over into so many different areas in the industry that you don't have to keep battling if Lil Wayne is number one and, you know, Jay-Z is number one and all this other thing, and that's not your cup of tea. You know, stop the judgment and really realize what you can do as a universal person. You know, that would be my advice, brother. You know, I don't battle the industry, man. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, if I'm going to throw my music out and put it out, it becomes a part of the stream, and it's what it is. You know, if you want it to be respected, then be dope, period.
Right, right. Well, I wanted to ask you, man, coming from the conscious community and having such a positive message for so many years, what would you say is, how can we as a black community start to, change our mindsets and start working with one another, being more into one another, like as far as support, as far as, like you say, the less judgment, the division, the what most people like to call the Willie Lynch, the tall against the short, the fat against the skinny, the bright against the dark. But what would you say, coming from the conscious community, my brother, what is one of the first things we should be doing now? Because I'm part of, I feel like I'm in the midpoint. I ain't too old, and I'm not too young, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
I have a responsibility for the younger ones. So, so what would be your advice, coming from a conscious community, to start implementing, actions, to start seeing the difference in the mindset amongst us?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no answer for such a wide problem. You know, the problem with black people is very complex. But I would say start back, instead of going back into the pyramids and all these other things, you know, that you know, are part of our history. Go back to where, you know, go back to where freedom starts in your mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this out to any individual that's awoken enough to hear this. Go back to what freedom means first. And then you've got to go back and say to yourself, no fear. You can't be afraid. You know, one of our slogans was freedom or death. So within that mm-hmm. phrase, there is no fear. You understand? These generations today are afraid because the beast is very complex now. They cut you off at every angle to where you feel you can't breathe. You know, they'll choke your brother out mm-hmm. on film and say, I didn't do it. And nobody gets arrested. And they say, well, what you going to do about it? And then you mm-hmm. just march the candles and talk stuff and then do nothing. So there's fear out here for some reason. You understand me? So we have to get rid of fear. You know, that was the purpose of joining a movement. None of these cats of today are joining any movements. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think the real conspiracy is that people who were afraid to join the movements are talking so much to down them, like, you know, like you don't need them. We can do it on our own. We can be independent. No, you can't. You got to build
right.
Life. Because this has happened before. This is a repetitious thing. This is not brand new. You know, just because you live in now, you think it's, you know, suppressed. No, man, this has been consistent. And now people are being born into it as a norm. And the way that we're reacting to it is not elevating. You know, the activism, like you said, you know, you have to take some action. Activism is a part of being a soldier. Otherwise, you're just standing around doing nothing.
Right.
And that's really what the generation is on, bro.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm hearing you, what I'm deciphering with my own ears is we got to fight fire with fire, so to say,
correct.
Because you all slogan was give me freedom or give me death. But the white people's slogan is give me liberty or give me death, right? So,
right.
So it's you have to fight fire with fire. And and I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree that there are really no movements. And when you say fear, right, I often say, and this is what I go back to, that was good what you said. You challenge people to go back in their mind and establish what freedom is to them, right? But I go back in my mind, and when you mentioned that word fear, it lined up with what I believe and what I always say. I said, man, we don't have any black leaders because they're scared of dying. When we had Medgar Evers, Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, these brothers weren't afraid to die. So they spoke out. They were front line, so to say, right? And so nowadays, we don't have that. And it was brothers who stood side by side with them that is living today, such as Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, who I feel like, in my opinion, should have picked up the torch from what was already laid, from what they had put down. They supposed to pick it up and ran with it, and that didn't get done. And so now we haven't seen a leader since, a great leader since, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the only thing that I disagree about is that, you know, it's not about leaders afraid to die. It's just that our people are so sensitive about everything that they judge someone who steps to the podium. You understand? You say Jesse Jackson to some black people, they'll cringe because they don't understand the Christianity or the complex matters around Martin Luther King's death, you know, trying to pin him like he was part of it or making him an agent and all these little things that they, you know, they watch too much TV and try to put together their own little, you know, mental on what's going on, you know, and same thing with Sharpton. You know what I'm saying? And regardless if you're a cup of, if they're your cup of tea or not, it doesn't matter. If they are standing front line with the purpose, you have to weigh in your mind, if I'm going to stand with this person for the time being, do what has to be done and step out. And on the front line, there is no judgment. If you're in the military, you're on the front line and you had a fight with somebody in the cafeteria before y'all got out to war, you have to suck that up and get on the front line and go ahead and handle the enemy. So we don't know how to do that enough because why? We're not training. No one's training. Everybody's drinking and playing and BSing around, and nobody's training. You know what I'm saying? If you were training, then you respect anybody that steps to the podium that is worthy and of value, period. So if those brothers you just mentioned have worthy and value as spokesmen for our people, you don't need leaders like that. You know, in the sense of go here, move left, move right. We don't need leaders like that. We need wisdom. Okay. We need inspiration. All right. For the low self-esteem on all our brothers, you know, and sisters, you know, it's too many complex things that separate our family. The family builds the nation. So if you separating the man and woman with all these other agendas and stuff, then, you know, where are we going? You know, you're not going to trust anybody because everybody's always trying to spin you around and push you in a different direction. So we have to establish trust, self-esteem, consistent training physically, mentally. You know, so many people have mental issues right now because of the trauma. Don't you think when you show somebody on the TV getting shot, you know, and dying on the screen? Remember that guy got cops was wrestling him and they shot him and he died on the screen? You know, imagine how many thousands of people saw that and how traumatic that was. This wasn't TV. This was live stuff. So you saying to yourself, damn, I can get to a car stop, you know, at the red light or something and cross it before it turns red and somebody pull me over and shoot me and kill me. you constantly living in fear at that point as a regular citizen. Okay? So the ones who take that fear and start doing music, they're going to think to themselves, well, let me not shake Master's tree. Let me just go ahead and party and BS and he won't see me, you know, and then when I get enough money, then I'll come out and let people know I'm positive or whatever the case may be. Come on, man. That's coon behavior. You know what I'm saying? Just straight up and down, you know.
Right, man. So let me ask you this, brother. With the wisdom you have, the elders you came up under, the message you've been preaching for years, what book are you reading right now?
You said, what am I reading?
Yeah, what book are you reading right now?
I don't have a particular manual that I'm reading. Sometimes I may walk with something as easy read as a Art of War, you know, or a book of Tao Tep or something, you know, just something that would give me wisdom, you know, along my journey, something that I can do daily and mathematically. You know what I'm saying? I don't have books that I read that I would suggest to people because I don't know what level they're on to understand material. Mm-hmm. Everything is not for everybody.
Man, that's real tough. You one of the first people I ever heard say that, bro.
Yes, sir.
You don't recommend books for people because everything ain't for everybody. Now that's a true statement. Yeah, so like what are you doing now? Like presently, like from the X Clan days to now, like what are you presently doing now on your journey?
Well, I spent a few years doing tours. I bought the X Clan back in 2003 out in the West Coast. And I went out there to really learn the core of production because the sampling era is over. You know what I'm saying? And when you realize that to yourself, you got to learn how to, you know, play instruments or either be a good Lawrence Welk or something, you know, how to conduct the band or something, you know? So I went out and got with some of the producers that I've always admired. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's how you use your veteran status. You get with other veterans. You know what I'm saying? And you kind of build on, you know, where we started and where it is right now. So I was able to do two albums out there. I did Return from Mecca and Mainstream Outlaws under the X-Clan branding with a label Suburban Noise. And I toured with them for about 6 years with various people and whatnot. I just really went to rescale everything that I did. You know, like I said, you know, you go back and you describe what your freedom is. And you go and take activism. So I've realized that, you know, music is my freedom of speech platform. That's, you know, that's one of my elements. So I, you know, with that, I can reconstruct my group and reestablish what, you know, what we were trying to say, because the problems of the 90s are not the problems of 2000. You know what I'm saying? I can't use, like even in the 90s when we drop, I can't use a 1960s tactic in 1990 and nor in 2000. Three or 2019. So you always have to refresh, you know, what you do. So from that time frame, I put in my mind to gather, you know, some of the most powerful lyrical monsters that already build positive. You know, I don't want anybody who's been gutter mouth all their life and then, you know, here's a book, you know, write me something positive. I want somebody who lives like that every day, you know. So I was able to gather, you know, I was able to gather up some, you know, some good monsters and, you know, and try to build myself a little label brand. You know, I have a label brand called Culture United that we're going to debut for 2020. And I think it's going to be an exceptional situation. I basically will show the blueprint of what cats are, you know, should really be sounding like, you know, in this day and era, you know, as we're oppressed. You know what? How dare you talk foolishness in a time where we're the most oppressed than ever? You know what I'm saying? So the only way to prove that point is to activate. So I bowed out of all the extra touring and all that stuff and took a break and just really just took my time on really recruiting the right heads. And I think it's going to be a very interesting time.
Okay. And the name of that coming, did you say Culture United?
Culture United is the name of our brand.
Okay, that's dope. And you said that's coming 2020, correct?
That's correct. And then we'll also have an X-Plan documentary that we're going to attach to that, because I think that a lot of people need to understand, you know, who we were and, you know, what's really going on in the game, you know, as far as what we're looking for, what our agenda is. You know, we're not putting out records to say, oh, man, you dope and you, you know, lyric master or whatever case may be. It's not that. You know, we want to show that intelligence is needed in hip hop. You know, if I put on the top five songs right now, it would be so ignorant. You know, what could I do with that? Where could I go with that outside of the club and club life? You know, I'm a grown man. I don't attend clubs like I used to do at 20 and 30 years old. So, you know, the young market doesn't control what's happening. You know, there's also an adult market that needs to hear some intelligence and take a break from the foolishness. So where you said there's a niche, you know, about a niche market, there's a niche market right now. If the game is dumbed out, then intelligent people would be the niche, period.
Right.
In my mind.
And that's real talk. Right now I want to just take a moment to pay homage, man, to a moment of silence, brief moment of silence for X-Clan members, Sugar Shav, and Professor X, the overseer. So, right now, let's just go ahead and take a small moment of silence. All right. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And shout out to Paradise the Architect, too, man. Go ahead, Brother Jay. I'm sorry.
Indeed, man. I was just giving thanks for that moment, man. Those brothers were very instrumental, you know, for PX to established the Black Watch movement. Even before I came here, you had been always trying to get the eldest children together and put together organizations similar to how I'm doing this label brand right now. You know what I'm saying? And us coming together from the talent to the organizer, and then my brother Shaft supporting us. I mean, if it wasn't for Architect and Brother Shaft, I would have never met that movement. You know what I'm saying? I might have just been out here. I might have been, you know, just a positive rapper or just a popular poet or something. But the fact that we can combine, you know, real lyricism and Black nationalism, and I say Black nationalism again as an improvement vessel, you know what I'm saying? To combine those two, it reminded people of who they were. So when they were changing in their garb and putting on all the medallions, they were trying to just reach out for whatever would remind them of where they came from. You know, stop examining the slave side of what's happening and go back and look to where you were free. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Can you trace back your bloodline to where you were really free? Were you free in Africa? You know, you think you go over there and you think it was all good? Find out if that's true or not before you can tell me, you know, the name of a pharaoh and when they lived and what it is. You know, history has been so altered, you might not even be reading the right information. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn how to translate the Greek into African, basically. So, you know, there's a lot of little homework to do, you know, for folks before they consider themselves woke. You know, some cats still in the dream state, self-proclaiming themselves awake. It don't work like that. You know, with the elders, they'll tell you, nah, man, you're not awake. Wake up. And they'll be able to kick you in your butt the right way to really open your eyes and really see what's happening. But if, you know, people want to continue to fool themselves, then, you know, at some point in time, the reality will kick you in your butt, man, for real.
And will Culture United be a movement where people can join to be enlightened, to be up under elders such as yourself, so they can get that good kick in the butt from somebody who's in it, lived it, walked it, and actually, like you say, doing something about it now by creating the, you know, Culture United?
No, it is not. It is a messenger movement. It's a messenger movement for artists. You know, the thing about movements, bro, is that you have to watch out for infiltration. You know what I'm saying? And while you're paying attention to all the production and all these other things, you don't have time to watch when the rats crawl up in your house. You know what I'm saying? So I don't... I don't have time for that. There's enough movements out here. People want to join the movement. Black Panthers are still active. You know, the ASCAC organization is still active. Republic of New Africa is still cracking. In Cobra, Movement for Reparations, MBUF, you know, for, you know, for prisoners, political prisoners. There's so many movements that I can run down right now for people to join. You know, why would I have to join? Why would I have to create something new? You know, I think mm-hmm. I think that's a problem. There didn't have to be a Black Lives Matter. Why couldn't all those people join Black Panthers and just continue? Black Panthers was a community serving program, 10-point system, everything, and you know, food program, community building, everything. Why couldn't they just join that? So why would I do Culture United and start recruiting folks when there's already things already set that have a tradition, 50 years, you know, come on, 50 years of wisdom, and I want to try to create something new? Something's wrong somewhere, you know,
so
something's wrong.
Do you think that's an issue? Because it seems like we have a lot of, like you said, you just named one, Black Lives Matter,
right.
Me Too movement. We have a lot of new movements created. Do you think that that's an issue, damn near like religion?
Yeah, man, it's real. You know, yeah, exactly. You know, if I said to myself one day, hey, I want to experience religion, and instead of me going down to the local church that's been there for 20 years, I start one in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what that's like. And you would say, Dan, why you start this in your house? You can go down to the corner, the good reverend been there for 25 years, and, you know, something already built. Why you want to start something new? Nobody ever asks that of these new movements. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is your agenda so high that it can't be incorporated into something that's already existed? Or are you trying to create something new or a new agenda or understanding? Period. Those are the questions people have to ask. Nobody asks them that. Everybody just, oh, yeah, Black Lives Matter. Oh, yeah, me too. You know, nobody asks, like, you know, why did y'all have to create something new? You couldn't join one of these other organizations? Y'all not fighting for the same freedom? Is it different?
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused, bro.
No, let me ask you this. And I know this, I'm just getting your opinion right now. This is opinion. This is an opinionated question.
Yes, sir.
Like when you have those people to do that, right? It's pretty much like they say you must be a good student before you can become a good leader, right? So these people are like skipping the stewardship, skipping being a student, and going straight to lead just because they have an urge, right? So
right.
Do you think most of these people end up having hidden agendas opposed to just wanting to, I guess, own some or be a creator of their own? Do you think it's something that comes with it to have them want to just jump off the porch instead of getting under somebody to lead, to build and get with and to know how to deal with certain problems and certain people and certain scenarios?
Yeah, but listen to what you said. Get under someone. It's not getting under anyone. You know what I'm saying? It's not getting under. You're joining hands. Like when you walk the front line, it's soldiers at arms, okay? So that means you're walking together, okay? So if I'm saying freedom or death and food programs and live, and then another organization is fighting for transsexuals in bathrooms or, you know, some other, you know, craziness that's, you know, that's being put up, then, you know, where does the freedom start at that point?
Well,
you know, if we...
Well, I do look at it as being under somebody, because you're going to have, like, if there's no structure, there's no order. So you got to have someone who's the leader. You got to have someone, you know, you got to have someone who's running it. You have a organization.
Why?
And when you join...
Why,
But
I mean,
okay,
the country,
so
I mean the country, but why?
Okay, because I guess, and see, I'm not in these organizations. That's why I'm glad we're having this conversation. Like,
yeah.
I would assume that most organizations have a structure, a chain of command, so to say, right? But and we're talking about these organizations that's already existed. Like the ones you say, why start something new? Why not join something that supports your same cause, your same purpose, your same fight? Now, I would assume that these organizations already have a chain of command in place. So when you come want to be a member of this organization, then you have to come with open mind, open arm to support the actual purpose, so you can be a good servant, a good worker, a good partner, or whatever the case may be. But it's somebody who might be leading.
No, brother. No, brother. That assumption is wrong. Okay? That assumption is wrong. All right? Break it down. Even if I join the Nation of Islam right now, all right? This is just an organization that people know from Farrakhan and so on and so on. I'm not following Farrakhan. I'm being a Muslim, okay? And there's a spokesman in-house that speaks in behalf because everybody can't speak at the same time, okay? If I go to the Black Panthers, I'm not coming under any of the brothers that are there in a council, okay? The reason that there's a council because there's gathered wisdom. So I'm not getting under your wing. I'm being a good Panther, doing my part. All right? There is no following. This is not the American military. When we say Black militants, it's not American militants. That's a program. Okay? That's a bad program on people's mind to be like, you have to be under. This is your boss. This is your whatever. Why would we have a freedom movement and put you back in the slave position joining the organization? Think about that. Okay? Mm-hmm. Real deal. Why would I say join the Black Panthers and stop being a slave for America, but be a slave to the brother who's in the head of the protocol of Black Panthers? That doesn't make sense.
So all having the chain of command is like slavery, like having someone over you, or like you say.
No, chain of command is do dudes. Okay? So when you say there's a council, and you say, well, why are those dudes in the council to help make decisions on some of the moves of the movement? Is because they've been there, being good Panthers, being good Nation of Islam, being good Israelite, whatever the organization is.
Correct.
If they've been there for years, then you respect those dudes. If I go join the Crips, the gang right now, and say, yo, man, boom, 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 who's the OGs? They're an OG because they've been there for a certain amount of time. Okay, so you're not following them. Your thing is to be a good gangster so you can get to be an OG. So what does that mean? Survive. So all these organizations, you have to survive through time in order to get to that council position. That's the only protocol that you're following. So if you want to be a spokesman of what it is, you first got to be, like you said, a good student. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And because those other organizations assume that, they went and created those, we're going to just make ourselves a movement because we have enough money and we have enough people who feel that this agenda should be addressed. What was the agenda? And why was your agenda so important in organizations that have been out here 20, 30 years? That's where it's at.
And I'm glad you supported that because I like when I talk to somebody and we have an interview or whatever, and they say something, and then I just like them to support their answer. You did a great job of that. Because just because I understand, the listening audience may not understand. And so with how you just broke that down, most people should understand why a certain family member or someone that they know has been hurt by a form of movement, a form of religion, a church, or anything. With that breakdown, it should be evident that that person, he or she, may not have been following the purpose. They may have just been following that man, that woman, whoever that spokesperson is at that time. And when
that's
you follow that person is human just like me, just like you, and they are subject to mistakes. They are subject to do things that humans do. And so then when that person makes that mistake, now that person who's supposed to be following the purpose, the movement of the organization and not the man or the woman, when those make those mistakes, then it sends that person into a frenzy, and now you can't make a decision no more because you feel like the whole organization and let you down, that it's fraud, that it's fake, and then you start getting these talks, these rumors on what you say, how people speak against these organizations to make them look bad, when all the time it might have just been you and what you was doing. how you were looking at the organization.
You came in wrong. You were a groupie and not a soldier.
Correct.
Okay? That is correct. All right? You were a groupie and not a soldier, and you left there disgruntled groupie, and now your story is supposed to be about what's happening on the inside. It don't work like that. That's infiltration. Okay? What you just broke down is infiltration. Now, you got to think, mm-hmm. how many organizations have suffered because of that? Okay? And with that bad view, you're going to tell a young, vibrant generation who feels that they have their freedom. You're not free. Okay? You're going to tell them that those organizations were bad. Don't go that way. Because I remember the guy who left there, he was so disgruntled. But they didn't ask, well, was he a groupie or was he a soldier?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They didn't ask that first. That's like, you know, getting something that from the pharmacy, you don't read the label. You just, you know, the guy just tell you put it in your mouth. And you take it and, oh, man, it didn't do nothing or it made my stomach hurt or whatever. You should have read the label. Read the label of the people that are delivering information to you. Did a person of fear approach you and say, I'm scared to go there. Don't you go there either. You know, I don't talk to people who have fear, brother, period. I don't even associate with people who have fear at all. There's no reason. There's no conversation for them. You know what I'm saying? People who have paranoia and fear and all of that and too much conspiracy and not enough move. I don't deal with them, so I don't have those headaches, but I have to study it because they're part of the music stream too. I'm not just speaking to an intelligent people when I spit my music. I'm speaking to the deaf, dumb, and blind as well. So like you said, we have to be able to speak in all languages when we get down. That's truly being a good spokesman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that leader thing, I don't know what that is. You know, I don't know what the movement, there is no leader. The table is round. At all times, it should be. And if it's not, then they have to, you know, think about what their structure is and what their purpose is, bro. That's, you know, that's none of my business. But I always felt that the movements have always put to me that there is a council of people that have had history and age. That's why you say elders. You know, mm-hmm. all older people are not elders, okay? You can have old people who didn't get it, and they'll die dumb. But the elders, they got it. They have the wisdom. They have the speaking ability or the communication ability. That's an elder, okay? You can meet an old, dumb person, okay? But it's not for you to judge the rest of your life like, oh, man, all old heads are sold out, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How many of our old heads have given into drugs and all kind of stuff, you know, because they were broken at some point? The next generation is supposed to have the healing vibration to go and say, yo, man, let me give you some of that energy that you're not receiving anymore. It's put a circle around you to let you know that young, vibrant energy is kicking. And you know how I'm saying what's right? When you see a older brother and he got a young, vibrant girlfriend or younger than him, you know, maybe 10 years younger than him or whatever the case may be, his energy change. You know what I'm saying? He has to perform different. He has to talk different. He has to teach and receive differently. You know what I'm saying? So when you're dealing with the young generation of men and women, you receive and you give differently. It's a different instruction, and you can re-spark some of these broken elders. You can heal some of these broken elders. You know, they're not focusing on that. You're going to go create something new and bury their history? I'm not going to bury the Black Panthers and all those organizations that I talk to with a Me Too and a Black Lives Matter. I don't even know who those people were or are. And if they paid dues to the movement or whatever, then it should be something to where they could have just joined with their elders and continue from that. As far as I'm concerned, that should have been Black Panthers. That should have been, you know, Blackstone Rangers or something. It should have been something that was like, okay, 30 years, and now they brought back the vibration and brought new generation and young energy into that. But instead it's something new, because now you got to analyze what's going on inside that's so different from the brothers and sisters of the past. I'm repeating that again. What is so different from the organizations that have existed already? Why couldn't they go to them? And I still have not figured out that answer yet, bro. You know, and people are so hush about it, like it's a problem to speak about it. We can't speak about this. Why not?
What is it because of the infiltration word we mentioned earlier? You can't go into these organizations, and this is just hypothetical, me just thinking. If I have an agenda not to support the cause of the elders organization, then I am going to create my own organization. But right. My agenda will come off as if I'm supporting, I have the same message as those guys over there. But in all actuality, I don't. And my job is to, right, I don't. So instead of, because if you do, it's easier, like you say, to join something that's already established, learn, move up the rank, and leave.
Because
you have, number one, came in with the right mind frame, not the groupie mind frame, but the soldier mind frame. You learned from your elders. You applied. They acknowledge you by saying, when my time is up, I feel X, Y, Z should lead because they've been a good soldier. And so now you keep it going with less leadership because good leaders or good spokesmen or good elders stay in a position until they die. And then the next person steps up when they die, and they stay into that position until they die. And that's how it's supposed to operate.
That's how it's always operated, brother. I don't know who changed that. Okay? If any of those organizations that you named that exist now had done time in Black Power movements already, you say Black Lives Matter, I want to hear, the former leader of the Black Panthers movement started as such and such and such. So I could look at your history and say, damn, she did 30 years serving food, this, that, and the other, this, you know, woo, woo, woo. Oh, shit, yeah, I'll go ahead and build with her, okay? But I don't even know who those people were. I didn't see anything. I'm looking for, you know, where is such and such from? You know, this was an agreement for people to come together who had an agenda, and I want to see what the agenda is. Why is your agenda different from freedom or death? Okay, that's where I'm at. I'm not judging. I don't judge against them. I don't know these people. But it would be easier to recruit if you already paid dues. Okay, you said Jesse Jackson, you said Al Sharpton. I can go back 30 years ago and see them in the same position that they're in right now. Regardless if I like Christianity, regardless if I like whatever, I see them brothers in the same position helping Black people, improving their communities, doing so and so and so. I can't have any judgment past that. I can't call you an agent if I never saw you sitting down at the FBI doing whatever, whatever. I can't do that. But if you out here doing good, I have to take the good for what it is. If you come out here on your Sunday best, I accept you on your Sunday. I don't have to deal with you through the week, period. That's like we said about that front line. You come to that front line, I'm here with you. I have no judgment. I have nothing to say to you but freedom or death. Let's move forward. That's it. Be a good comrade.
Right.
The very reason that you said at the beginning of this conversation, why are we so separated? Why are we such and such? You just answered that question on your own, brother, by stating how the assumption of how the leadership is put down. Young heads don't join those organizations because they think they got to get under their wing. Shit, man, half these young heads are running from their parents. You think they want to go to somebody else to tell them what to do or tell them how to get right, get in shape, flush your body, stop doing this, stop doing that, stop eating this, stop doing whatever? All those things are to improve your life and live longer than we have lived. But they got so much mouth, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you're a parent or not, but, you know, young heads have so much mouth. My kids don't practice that on me, God bless. But when you don't have discipline, they just talking back. And most times they talking back to parents that can't give them the right answers. They can't have a dialogue like this. What we're doing right now in this interview is having reasoning. If we learn how to have reasoning with the young generation, then it would be a whole different situation. But we'd be talking at them. Oh, your music is still
right. And I'm glad you said that, bro. We approaching the last 5 minutes of that. And I say this a lot of times, the people talking to the old head,
yes.
I ain't got shit. You ain't doing shit.
Exactly.
So why do you expect them to follow you? You ain't got no job. You at the house, but you telling this man, get your ass to school. to get up out the street, but you at the house. Why you ain't at work?
So all right, to me, you know that's why? Where. And you know why?
To me, that's
why
where we lost the youngest. Go ahead.
Yeah,
but
all right, but I mean to interject. I mean to cut you off. The reason why we lose that connection is because you're not respecting the years. Okay? If a crackhead for 20, 30 years with no teeth came up to me and was talking to me, I would listen. Why? Because you have years. I have to dissect in my mind what's mathematically correct coming out of your mouth. Does it fit in my life? I don't have to follow you. I don't have to do nothing. But I can respect your years. I can look at your beard and say, yo, man, you've been here longer than me. What you got? What you coming here to tell me? Okay? They don't even have that respect. Okay?
Right. And I think intelligence would do that, because a lot of these kids now are materialized, meaning if you don't have a nice car, if you don't have a nice house, if you don't look good, they won't accept that conversation or that wisdom from that crackhead. When that crackhead can be telling you why the mistake they made to become a crackhead and see you on the same path and say, don't do it. That's how I got here. That's how I got here. But being that person ain't in no suit, being that person ain't got on designer shoes, being that person don't have chains, ropes, or none of that, most would not listen and end up hitting rock bottom, hitting something that they ain't got no place hitting because they didn't take heat. Now, exactly. I'm gonna give you the last. We ain't got another like 2-3 minutes left in the show. I'm gonna go ahead and give it to you to make any final comments, anything that you want to say to the listening audience, anything you want to promote, any shouts out, anything you want to do. But please be sure to get your social media after you finish. You got it. Let's get it, Brother Jay.
I want to give thanks to your program for having me. Everybody was so organized and getting me here. You know, I'm out here on the road traveling, but I want to appreciate that. I say to the people, freedom or death is not to be compromised. It's either you're in or you're out, bottom line. My emails and all of that, Instagram and all of that, is BroJXClan, BROJXCLAN. You can catch up to me there. Come in positivity, and you will receive peace. That's what's up.
Much love, much love, much love. And I want to give a shout out to the sponsor of the show, Jeff Kwan, BTP Media. What's up? Appreciate you, brother. Forget Brother Jay. Brother Jay, I want to tell you, man, I really appreciate the dialogue. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you.
We really had a real conversation. Like you said, I answered the question on my own. Just dialogue and politicking with you. We weren't screaming at each other. We didn't agree with everything. And you being an elder, I can see why you speak the way you speak, why you believe what you believe. And then the actions that you're taking with Culture United coming 2020 and all the great music that you have put out since the X-Clan era. And again, man, much respect. Paradise the Architect, much respect. Sugar Stab, RIP, and Professor X, RIP. Man, much love, brother. Much love, brother. Please don't let this be the first and last time you come through Big Exclusives, man. Come 2020 when y'all doing that movement music, baby. Make sure you come through. Make sure you bring it to us so we can get it out. Help you promote it, bro. All right?
Thank you, good brother. I left a couple jewels with you so you have some things to spend until we're ready.
All right, indeed. And we will put that into the final edit, bro. So I appreciate that.
That's indeed. Give my regards to your team and much success to you, brother.
I really appreciate that as well, and likewise to you, sir. Again, man, let's go ahead and give him a round of applause. Brother Jay, X-Clan.
Peace.
Indeed. All my loved ones out there, you heard it right here on Big Exclusives. That was Brother Jay, X-Clan. Got Culture United coming at you 2020. So we will put his music into the final edit. So y'all go to the platforms, man. Valerie Denise Jones, YouTube, Big Exclusives on all platforms, iHeart, iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, Spreaker, We're everywhere. Pretty much where they got podcasts, you can find us on Big Exclusives. I am Philo the Great. That's P-H like phone, E-L-O-T-H-E-G-R-E-A-T. BossRadioLive.com, PhiloTheGreat.com, and ValerieDeniseJones.com to stay up to date on what we're doing. Please join us this Friday, for the Judge Joe Brown Show right here, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Again, man, it has been a great show, and we're about to get up out of here, man. You know what time it is, as always. Get rid of the quitter. Barbecue and me and do something weird, something won't, something do, something don't. And if you had a problem with anything we said, or I said, on this show, you always got two choices. Either check it or respect it. You heard me? We up out of here. Gone. Valerie!
Bless.
Exclusive Brother J,
yes,
freestyle.
Yes. Respect one time. I be Brother J, Bible Maggots, representing the Dark Sun in the house, representing VG's in effect one time. Respect to the Dirt Man and to the Sad Man on the tape 120 as we get down and flex. It's like this, check me out and all around. Oblivion attacks, I handle the force like summon Zen. Immune to sense, I texture break theirs and line is dense. Agent 777 come representing the nine. Armor getting mag, my crew comes finger five. Surf through cosmic dip and space milk will always nurse me. Poets call me God, MCs write prayers of mercy. These desperados reach for fluids, top shelf. Incline on Jacob's ladder, whole crew solo for delf. Whatever, tides are rising, drowning your mental health. I reign like white lotus with steps to pure is death. Preach the fuga, never would that coulda, shoulda, woulda. Maintain my stress and strain when I balance with the Buddha. Melanin computer as I do the barracuda. Triangle with the void and then vacation in Bermuda. There's no tutors, because I learned to never toot your own horn. Only one time self-born. Now I represent as a total God sent. Me confess to my damn so MCs can come repent. Diamond in the rough, so I leave these mics bent. Potholes up in your stage, it's the Quay president. Like that, it's all around the world. Dark suns in the house, it's like this, like that, it's all around, yeah.
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts.
Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.